Now, tonight's lesson is titled Surviving the Storms of Change. This morning we talked about how there's good change and how there is bad change. I pointed out many of the problems that our nation has embraced in the storms of change and how this has begun to affect the Lord's church and how many are beginning to be swept away by the storms of change and moving farther and farther away from God. Well, in tonight's lesson, I want to offer six practical points that will help us to survive the storms of change and that will also potentially help us to lead our nation back to God so that we can truly say that we are a nation under God. One of the first things that we must continually tell ourselves is that no matter how much this world changes around us, is that God does not change and His way does not change. While I am all for changes that help enhance us or make our lives better, when it comes to religious matters or things of the Bible, we need to stand firm on God's Word and never give in on what it says. You know, whenever we get to the point where we start thinking that we can do it better than God, something is wrong. We should never get to the point where we think that God is going to stand up and say, well, I never thought about doing it that way. Whenever we start becoming where we're so big in our eyes and thinking we're better or smarter than God, then we need to start looking at passages such as Jeremiah 10 and verse 23. It says, O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in a man who walks to direct his own steps. And again in Proverbs 3 and verse number 5, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. So the first step to surviving the storm of change and realizing is that God is all-knowing, He is all-powerful, and that we have no right whatsoever to change His Word. No matter how smart we become, we can never, ever even come close to having the wisdom of God. So we must always humble ourselves before the Lord, realizing that we are nothing without God. And again, none of us, not a single person on the face of this earth, has the right or the authority to change what God has told us in His Word. Now, once we understand our place and we realize that God's Word does not change and realize that He's not interested on how we think we can do things better than Him, then we can go to the second step that helps us survive the storm of change. And that is that we must respect the authority of the Scriptures. There are many passages that bear this out. For instance, as we look at Proverbs 30 and verse number 5, it says, every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in Him. Do not add to His word, lest He rebuke you, and you be found a liar. Revelation 22 and verse number 18 says, for I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of this book, of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Again, you see a couple of passages on the screen that basically say the same thing. Deuteronomy 4:2 and Deuteronomy 12 and verse 32. Galatians 1 and verse number 6 says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. And one more passage, 1 Corinthians 4 and verse number 6. Now these things, brethren, I have figuratively transferred to myself and Apollos for your sakes, that you may learn in us not to think beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up on behalf of one against the other. Of course, there are many other passages that teach us this concept. It should be easy for us to see that we need to respect the authority of the Scriptures. We must take and make sure and make a commitment in our life to make sure we're going to commit ourselves to keeping God's Word and respecting His authority, and no matter what situation may come up, and not allowing our heart to dictate the way that we should worship God or that we are to live our lives. It has to come from God's truth. As I told you this morning, we're told to worship God in spirit and in truth. And so as we worship God with our entire being and with our hearts, we must allow our hearts to be guided by God's perfect will and testament. Now, the third step to surviving the storm of change is we must begin to study God's Word. And again, this goes with the concept of respecting the authority of the Scriptures. If we're going to respect the authority of the Scriptures, then it's obvious we must study them to see what they say, so that we can determine between what is right and what is wrong. And again, the Bible itself proclaims very clearly that you must study the Word to be able to grow by it. Let's look at a few of these passages. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter 3 in verse number 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense for everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. See, if we're going to be successful at surviving the storms of change, then we must commit ourselves to study God's Word, to understand what it says, so that way we can know whether or not we are obeying the authority of the Word. Whenever Paul was writing to the Ephesians, he begins to talk about how whenever the Word of God will be fully revealed, whenever they become united in unity based upon the Word of God, knowing what it says about Jesus and everything else in the aspect of their lives, he lets them know that whenever they have this perfect union and understanding of the Scriptures, that this would be the results. In Ephesians 4 and verse 14, it says that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head. See, whenever we arm ourselves with the Word of God, we become a prepared people that will not suffer from the storms of change. And I really love how Paul says in the book of Ephesians, he begins to describe those Christians who have put on the whole armor of God and who are prepared to face the wiles of the devil. Again, I want to share this verse with you, these verses, starting in Ephesians 6 and verse number 10. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. The fourth step that I want to point out that we need to do in order to survive the storms of change is to never compromise the authority of the Scriptures. This is where we get ourselves in trouble sometimes. Sometimes we can stand firm on all kinds of topics, but whenever something gets personal in our lives, something happens in our family, and we'll find instances where this really begins to tug at our heartstrings, and we start relying upon our human emotions and on what we think instead of going to God's Word, because again, it becomes very personal in our lives. But we must understand as Christians that in whatever is thrown our way, we must respect and never compromise the authority of the Scriptures. A great example of this can be found in the Old Testament in the book of Ezra. In Ezra chapter 9, we find that Ezra is praying to God, and he is just so ashamed of his people because they have taken on marrying these pagan women and having children with them. And God said specifically that they weren't supposed to be marrying these pagan women. And so he just doesn't even really feel like he can even look up to God and pray to be able to speak to Him with any type of confidence, because he is just so ashamed of what their people have done. And what we find out is they're going to have to make a big decision. They're going to have to make a decision. Are they going to continue to follow their heart, or are they going to follow the law of God? I tell you what, this is as personal as it gets. Guarantee you that these people, they loved these foreign wives they had married. They loved the children that they had had with them. But again, this was a decision that they had to make, to choose to follow their heart or to follow the law of God. Let's see what they chose to do as we look at Ezra 10 and verse number 1. It says, now while Ezra was praying, and while he was confessing, weeping, and bowing down before the house of God, a very large assembly of men, women, and children gathered to him from Israel, when the people wept very bitterly. And Shechaniah, the son of Jehiel, one of the sons of Elam, spoke up and said to Ezra, "We have trespassed against our God and have taken pagan wives from the peoples of the land. Yet now there is hope in Israel in spite of this. Now, therefore, let us make a covenant with our God to put away all these wives and those who have been born to them, according to the advice of my master and of those who tremble at the commandment of God. And let it be done according to the law. Arise, for this matter is your responsibility. We are also with you. Be of good courage and do it." Now, this was a difficult decision, but this is one they decided to make. And it's not one that was going to happen overnight. In fact, that's what we can see as we continue on, as we pick back up in verse 13. "But there are many people. It is the season for heavy rain, and we are not able to stand outside. Nor is this work of 1 or 2 days, for there are many of us who have transgressed in this matter. Please let the leaders of our entire assembly stand, and let all those in our cities who have taken pagan wives come at appointed times, together with the elders and judges of their city, until the fierce wrath of our God is turned away from us in this matter." As we can see, they were working toward this. They were going to put away these pagan wives, and even they were going to do away or send away these children. Now, this would be a very personal, difficult thing to do. But again, they had to make that choice. They had to make sure that they weren't going to compromise God's law. They already did it by marrying these women, and now they were going to separate themselves from them. And this is what we must do today. We must learn that whatever comes our way, that we must put God first. We must put God before our family, because God has got to come first in our lives, no matter what our family may get involved in. Again, Jesus tells us this in Matthew 10 and verse 37. "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me." So we must be willing to stand upon God's word, no matter what comes our way, to put him first and to make sure that we do not compromise his truth. Now, the fifth step that will help us to survive the storms of change is to have preachers who are willing to preach the whole counsel of God and not parts of it. You know, there are things that people don't want to hear because it affects their personal lives. But a preacher cannot just pick and choose what he wants to preach. He needs to preach the whole counsel of God. I keep hearing about how in articles and different Christians about how some preachers are just preaching a watered-down message and they're not using much scripture. And the reasons I've been given or I found for this is, one, some preachers are afraid they're going to lose their job, so they don't want to say too much. Other preachers are just afraid of the people and they don't want to rock the boat. But this should not be the case. I firmly believe that our preaching should be rooted and grounded within the Word of God. And an eldership that allow a preacher to continue on preaching a Reader's Digest version of the gospel and not really touching on any topics is really not, in my opinion, doing a very good job in making sure that the flock is being fed as it should so they can grow spiritually from the Word. You know, we need more preachers like the Apostle Paul, who said things like this to the Ephesian elders, starting in Acts 20 and verse 26. It says, "Therefore I testify to you this day, that I am innocent of the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch, and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn every one night and day with tears. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified." Also, when he was writing to the Galatian church, he says this in Galatians 4:16, "Have I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" You see, Paul, he understood that he did not need to fear man or fear those people that are around him. He needed to fear and respect God. And he could hold his head high knowing that he was proclaiming the whole counsel of God. He knew that this is what God would want him to do. He knew this would be pleasing to him. And so we can see that Paul, that he did not sell the truth for a lie. However, we have more and more people today, they just simply don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to hear things where they have to make a change in their life. Have become kind of like the people as Isaiah described in Isaiah 30 and verse number 10. Who says to the seers, do not see, and to the prophets, do not prophesy to us right things? Speak to us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Get out of the way, turn aside from the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. You know, this is what happens to congregations whenever the word is not preached. When the whole counsel of God is not proclaimed, you're going to have congregations that don't want to hear the truth. They're not going to be interested in making changes in their life. And so we must be sure that whenever we're preaching, that we preach the entire counsel of God, that we cover all the topics, no matter how unpopular some of them may be. Now, the sixth step for tonight to survive the storms of change, and this is a very important one, is we need to rely upon the power of prayer. So many of us neglect the power of prayer. That's an avenue that's been given to us. We have access to God 24/7. We can pray to Him, let Him know what's going on in our life, and ask Him for help. And one of the things that we should be praying for is to make sure that we're not led into temptation. That's exactly what Jesus told His disciples to pray for, Matthew 6 and verse 13. He says, "And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." And again, a little bit later in this example prayer that was given, He also tells us why prayer is important. And He tells His disciples why it's so important that they make sure that they pray and they watch. Matthew 26 and 41 says, "Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, so many people just neglect the power of prayer. It's something that some people will go to only when they're desperate, only in their desperate time of need. And yeah, we can pray to God during those times, but we need to be praying to God all the time, every single day, drawing off the strength of Him, asking Him to help us in our daily lives. As Hebrews 4 and verse number 16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Now, once we have all these steps in place and we begin to put them in our lives, we will find that we have everything that we need to have in order to survive the storms of change. And we'll also have everything that we need to begin to influence our nation around us, to lead them back to God. I hope that if you will take everything in this lesson that I have taught this evening and you begin to do like the Bible says and be a shining example to those around you, this is how that we can begin to influence those outside the church. And we also do this to influence us that are in the church, because they can begin to look at our example and see how we live our lives, and they will begin to emulate it. Another thing we must do is we must teach our children these six steps. Teach them to respect the authority of the Scriptures. You know, I keep hearing how the church are losing their children to the world or to denominations. Well, again, I think that we can overcome that if we really implement these six steps that I was talking about, because you're going to have children, they're going to grow up, they're going to realize that God's way does not change, and they're going to respect the authority, and they're going to be a shining example in the world as well. You know, when we show our commitment to serving and allowing God's word to be our moral compass, again, I think it's going to catch on around the world. And we can certainly make our voices known in the government areas as we begin to vote certain people in that hold certain values. We can also make sure and vote no on those things that God wouldn't want us to vote yes on. And so these are different ways that we can begin to influence our nation. But one thing we must understand is we must exercise great patience. We must realize as we begin to try to influence our nations and those around us that we got to allow God to work there in the background. We have to realize, knowing that His word does not return to us void. The things that we say many, many years down the road may end up affecting that person and causing them to go toward God. So just keep on planting and watering and allow God to give the increase. Again, I truly believe that if we follow these six steps in this lesson, it'll lead more Americans to saying no to abortion and not murdering our innocent young children. I believe that if us Christians will, again, if we'll put these six steps into our lives, it'll empower every Christian and make it to where we can resist the temptation of gambling, of adultery, fornication, homosexuality, and pornography, and any other sin that might come before us. And again, if congregations would embrace these six steps and respect the authority of the Bible, we're going to have entire congregations that are standing firm in God's word, and it's not going to be affected by these storms of change. We're not going to allow all these things to sink in, all these false things to sink in that people are trying to do in the Lord's church today. I hope this lesson today has shown you some of the problems that we're facing in our nation and how that's affecting our church today. And I hope that each one of us will take these six steps and put them into our lives so that we can begin today to start influencing those people around us and so that we can remain strong and firm within God's Word. That being said, we come to the end of our lesson. If there's anyone here that needs the prayers of this congregation, or if there's someone here that has not obeyed the gospel plan of salvation, it's pretty simple. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're ready to turn your life over to Him by repenting and confessing Jesus as your Lord, then why not come forward and be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins? If we can serve anybody in any way, please come forward as we stand and sing our invitation song.